In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And we promise that this week we're going to have a shorter podcast due to some time constraints. We are, not recording on a normal Monday. We are recording on Wednesday.
Yeah.
For anybody who is listening, this week has probably been one of the most tumultuous weeks in at least our lifetimes here in America.
Dude.
With the election, let's not talk about the biggest news story in existence. And so, admittedly, both Mike and myself were not necessarily in a proper headspace on Monday or on Tuesday to really be doing a podcast because we were both stressing regarding what the state of the country is going to be after this election. I think Mike handled it in a different way than me, which is funny. I think it just goes to show our different personalities and how we deal with stress.
Yeah.
I believe Mike was imbibing alcohol and I was eating food. And if you were to see us, that would totally make sense. If you know Mike, you're like, yep, Mike was probably drinking because Mike does drink.
I do
not
drink.
Not in a bad way.
No.
Not in a bad way, but that's something that Mike does. And even if you don't know me, all you have to do is look at a picture of me and be like, yeah, that motherfucker eats whenever he wants to, and especially when he's stressing out. You don't get that size without doing that. What do you think happened to Augustus Gloop? Why do you think he got stuck in that pipe? Why? Because that fat kid ate. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Gloop.
Anyway, we are here on Wednesday, trying to get something done for you, trying to talk some stuff for you. We're going to keep it short. We're not going to talk about the election stuff because it's all over your new stuff. I mentioned it. That's it. We're done.
Yep. Quick mention. We
are going to talk about a few other things. There was something else that actually somewhat newsworthy that did happen over the last couple of days. And we have talked many times before about public figures that have died. One is an interesting one to talk about because as an actor, he's a very well respected actor.
Yeah.
As a human being, not always as much.
No, not necessarily.
Because he wasn't necessarily the nicest man to, especially to women.
I thought I had a guess who you were talking about.
You had a guess?
I had a guess. Just as you were talking about it, I was kind of going through my head who you possibly could be talking about. I think I've got it nailed.
Okay, because, then who do you think it is?
Probably Sean Connery.
You put a sir in front of that because he was knighted.
Oh, he was.
Yes, he is sir. He was Sir Sean Connery.
Ah.
So let's give him that at least. But yes, Sir Sean Connery, which, I mean, for people at least of our generation, I think that he was a very important figure in the sense that one of the more parodied voices because of his thick Scottish accent.
Absolutely.
Which he could not shake for anything. Even when he was trying to play a Russian submarine commander, and probably one of the best kind of military type movies of all time.
Yeah.
And definitely the best Tom Clancy novel that got turned into a movie. His game's fine. All the Tom Clancy games, great. But his movie's not necessarily the best. That is Tom Clancy, isn't it?
Tom Clancy was Hunt for Red October, and you're talking about the game franchise like Rainbow Six, right?
Yeah, the games are awesome. The games are awesome for what they do. I'm not a fan of them because I don't like games where I get shot twice and die because I'm a crappy gamer. So I need I need a first person shooter that I have a shield so I can take a couple of hits before it starts actually damaging me physically, because otherwise I'm useless. If I'm on your team on any of those like realistic first person shooters, I'm just going to run out and see if I can kill people before I get killed, because there's no way I'm running around hiding behind crap, popping out and shooting people and living through that. I am a liability. Just strap some explosives to my little character in there and have me run right into the nest of enemies and blow me up, because that's the best you're going to get from me in normal first person shooters.
You're reminding me of a sketch that I saw some time ago. You ever check out the comedy troupe Whitest Kids You Know?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Well, they had a there was a, I think it was like a first person shooter noob or something like that. Like Call of Duty noob, I think was a sketch or something like that. And they did a, it was a live action sketch where they were on a field in, they were in a combat zone, right? Except they were playing their playable characters physically. And one of the guys is shouting and running around in a circle and like all this other BS, just completely incapable of controlling himself. But it's just, it takes it into an entirely different mindset when when you're watching actual people do it. It looks absolutely ridiculous. But
I've seen another group that does stuff like that with like Skyrim style games and stuff like that. They do the live action pretending of some of the different parts of it.
That's great.
But I've tried playing those the Call of Duty games, all those type of games, those realistic first person shooters, and I suck ass at those. I'm awful. Give me Halo where I can take a few shots before I die. I can deal with that. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I even suck at the third person shooters.
Huh?
I even suck at the third person shooters.
Personally, I'm a little bit better at third person than the first person, only because I can see where I'm getting shot from a little easier with that. But same thing with like. But I think that's I think that's a characteristic of when I started playing video games, when I learned how to play them. We didn't have necessarily first-person shooters. We had side-scrollers, and then when they finally got to some 3D stuff, it was all third-person at first.
Yep.
And so I had to get more used to, or I learned on third-person. And so even like when I'm doing like any vehicle combat games or vehicle driving games, I'm always in a third-person viewpoint. I can't do the first-person viewpoint because I just didn't learn how to play that way. It's not organic for me. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
But anyway, back to the original point, which is Sean Connery. For our generation, that was one of the kind of older sex symbols that many of our mothers were kind of attracted to. They'd grown up watching stuff with Sean Connery in it. Most specifically the Bond movies.
Oh yeah.
Possibly when nobody was watching and refused, or nobody saw them do it and they refused to admit it, they watched Zardoz. Just for fun, anybody listening to this,
what's Zardoz?
Go look up some pictures. Okay, I want you just to Google Zardoz. Z-A-R-D-O-Z.
Okay.
Just Google that right now so that you can see pictures of Sean Connery's costume in Zardoz.
Okay. So the recording rig that I have right now, I don't want to change it, and I also don't want to use my phone. So, and my phone is what's connected to you right now, so I'll have to do this afterwards.
Well, I'm crap on it down, you. I want you to check, anybody listening, if you have the ability to look it up, look up Zardoz and look up what Sean Connery's wearing in Zardoz. Because let me tell you something. Just be prepared, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Be prepared afterwards to rinse your eyeballs with cleansing fluid.
Okay.
Safe for eyeball cleansing fluid. You know, like the stuff they use to like actually clean your eyes or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, like the saline stuff.
You'll want to cleanse your eyes. You also may want a bucket. Because you see more of Sean Connery than you wanted to see of Sean Connery.
Okay.
You know, he was for that generation of women a major sex symbol because of the Bond movies. Right. I personally remember, other than my mother being a huge Sean Connery fan and loving the Bond movies as a result of him being in them, mm-hmm. and teaching me the most important thing is, and one of those things that you ask people, like, you know, you ask people what their favorite Star Wars movie is, there is a right answer. You ask people what their favorite heavy metal band is, there mm-hmm. is a right answer. And then you ask people who their favorite Bond was, and there is a right answer. And it should be Sean Connery.
Right, huh? Okay. I'm listening. I'm listening.
Because it shouldn't be Roger Moore at all. It should not be Timothy Dalton again at all. George Lazenby barely got a chance. I mean, he got one movie. So, and sadly, it's probably one of the, as far as the older Bond movies, it's probably one of the best Bond movies on Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's a really, really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, and technically speaking, Lazenby is actually a little more the part of James Bond than what any of the other Bonds have ever been. But he still isn't the best. And, I love Pierce Brosnan in many things, but not the best Bond. And Daniel Craig's pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. Still not the best.
I tend to dig on Craig, definitely over. Good God. Okay. I found another phone that I had sitting here that I was able to hook up to my Wi-Fi, one of the old dead phones that I have. And I just looked up Zardoz, and good God, that is disgustingly horrible. That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I wish we had video right now because I'm almost crying.
Oh, good Lord. He looks like...
Sorry, not sorry.
I don't even know what to fucking say right now. The boots and the six shooter for some reason. It's a distant picture. It's not like up close. So, holy good God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is... Yeah. He's... What?
That is my gift to you and anybody else listening. That is my gift to all of you.
Oh, man. I apologize to anyone who has looked this up now.
I don't. Sorry, not sorry.
And I didn't even try to convince somebody to do it. This is absolutely terrible.
We actually used to have that at Blockbuster. We had that movie at Blockbuster on VHS when we worked there.
I'm sorry to anybody that I helped ring through that movie at Blockbuster.
I don't know that anybody ever actually rented it. Oh, this is an awful movie. And it's kind of funny, though, that a movie like that, and then like the movie that he decided to stop making movies after he was in, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah, that's the one that stopped. Not this piece of shit. Jesus.
No. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen stopped. He decided to stop making movies after that. What's funny about that is he did Zardoz. He did a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and he just said, forget it, I'm done acting at that point. But the reason he did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is because he passed on another movie. He was offered the part in another film, in a film series, in fact, and he passed on it because he didn't understand the story. It made no sense to him. And then he went and did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is like, really?
What was the movie?
He passed on playing Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh my God, he would have been amazing.
It would have been
interesting. Don't get me wrong, I am not discounting Ian McKellen. Sir McKellen was fantastic, but...
Yeah, it would have been an interesting take on Gandalf for sure. But yeah, he passed on playing Gandalf to, you know... Although I can... Oh man, I can see the memes. When Gandalf is hanging at the edge of the pit after he's defeated the Balrog, or at least he's not defeated the Balrog, but he's cast the Balrog down, and he's doing the "Fly, you fools."
Yeah,
I could totally see the memes of having Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones standing on the other edge, looking down on him, and some reversal thing. How does it? You know, what are you going to call me now, Dad? Huh? You going to call me by my name? Kind of thing. So, but And again, another wonderful role that he was in as Indy's father in Last Crusade.
Right.
But yeah, real funny career for Sean Connery, because before he was an actor, do you know what he was?
Before he was an actor? No, I have no clue.
He was a bodybuilder and a male model.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And in fact, Ian Fleming didn't even want him to be Bond because his thought was he's just some big musclehead. I don't want him to be Bond. So Sean Connery was considered a musclehead at that point. Shows you how different the world is now when it comes to people with muscles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then again, during that time frame, you know, people my size got TV shows and were considered great comedians, even though they were, you know, awful and racist in the TV show. Of course, it was for a point, but whatever. Anyway, moving on.
Are you talking about All in the Family?
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
Sorry, I had to process that one for a second, but I know what you're talking about.
Even the story of the James Bond movies is kind of an interesting story. You know why the Ian Fleming novels were bought up to become movies? Do you know what kind of caused the whole stir behind that?
No, not at all.
There was actually a U.S. president that when asked in an interview what books he was reading, because that's the kind of things that presidents used to be interviewed about.
Boy. How the times have changed, huh?
How the times have changed. He mentioned one of the James Bond Ian Fleming novels. He was this president was a former military person, and he found the James Bond novels to be quite interesting. And so once this president, who was a very, very popular president, once he was known to be a big fan of these books, suddenly the books started flying off the shelves, and movie studios were like, no, we need to try to make these into movies because everybody likes these books now. They're selling big. They're great.
Interesting.
Guess which president?
Depending on how far back it was, like, I don't know how far back Ian Fleming was writing the book. So, man, I want to say FDR or something like that. That's the first one that I want to think of. Cause,
FDR wasn't a war hero. He's never in, or he wasn't a military person. He's never in the military.
Oh,
His polio would have stopped that from happening.
Oh,
But not that far back.
That's what I kind of thought. I was like,
your answer, though wrong in the decade and wrong in the years, is close to right in the way that we address a president, at least the president's name. If that makes any sense at all, at least in my brain, it is. It's a classification thing. I'm weird.
Okay.
There's only one other president that we address by their initials.
Oh, really? Kennedy.
Yep.
I had to think about that for a minute.
Yeah, Mr. Jifk himself.
Mr. Jifk.
Yes. John Kennedy was a huge, huge, huge fan of those novels, having been, I believe he was in the Navy. Having been in the military and done military service, the fact that the Bond's character was a former Navy person for England, of course, that was kind of one of the connections he found that he loved the James Bond novels. So that kind of started the whole making of all of these James Bond films. So, you know, sometimes United States presidents, even when their lives are cut short tragically, sometimes they still do great things like give us James Bond. I mean, I'm sure Kennedy did a bunch of other cool things, but hey, he gave us James Bond. That's kind of cool.
Well, I mean, look, he served in the military. He was a president. He was one of the most respected presidents, and he was also boning Marilyn Monroe. Like, he was as close to James Bond for an American that you could possibly get without actually being a spy.
Which really makes sense that he would love James Bond so much. So
right. I mean, yeah. It was just like, this seems kind of up his alley, kind of a little bit, like, just the idea of it. And that could have very well been something that inspired him to be so, well, I'll just say, just to be so promiscuous as far as that's concerned.
I mean, just the girl said yes. So that's probably what inspired him to be promiscuous, but I'm just saying, I mean, let's just be honest about the situation.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what most people know Sean Connery from. However, there are a lot of younger people that have a lot of other memories of Sean Connery beyond just that's one of the guys that mom thinks is hot but never will have a chance with, and probably doesn't want a chance with, even though she thinks she does. But some from our generation, we have a couple of milestone things that are like, this is what we know Sean Connery from. Indiana Jones, Last Crusade, that's one of them. I got lucky to see that movie in the theater and really enjoyed the twist idea of Sean Connery being his dad. Even though they were only like 15 years in age difference or less, still, that's really kind of cool to see Sean. Yeah. There's not that much age difference between the two of them. Harrison Ford just looks younger than what Sean Connery
is. Yeah,
and
they
aged
him
up a bit. But that's not the movie that necessarily stands out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for many people that are a little bit younger than us, the millennial generation, they really focus on his voice performance in the movie Dragonheart, which for an avid D&D fan, an avid fan of fantasy things to begin with,
right?
Dragonheart, when it came out at the time, it was amazing. The special effects, even now, many of the special effects used in that have aged fairly decently. Not well. I will not say well, but they've aged fairly decently, especially in comparison to other movies made at the time and even made a little bit after that. they did a lot of work to get that dragon to be right, and they work hard to get that dragon to be right. And it's a fun movie because it's got that's Dennis Quaid, right? In that one, not Randy, because he was not the crazy one. Dennis Quaid playing
I'm sorry. Huh? Could you imagine Randy Quaid being in Dragonheart instead of Dennis? Concept of that would be hilarious. Like total like National Lampoon's Randy Quaid.
Which, by the way, is the reason why I suggest everybody watch at some point or another what is considered one of the worst movies ever, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. Randy Quaid playing a robot in that. He's playing an android in that movie. It's freaking amazing. It is brilliant.
Interesting. Okay.
To cast Randy Quaid as an android. Oh, my God. Crazy. But anyway, back to Dragonheart. So you have Dennis Quaid doing probably one of the better roles in his career. Although, I mean, he's Jerry Lee Lewis. He's the pilot in Inner Space. He's had tons of good roles in his career.
He was a good Jerry Lee Lewis, too.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, I remember that. It's a good one.
I mean, other than the fact that Jerry Lee Lewis was a creep for having sex with and marrying his 13-year-old cousin, whatever she was.
Yeah, there are a lot of you go back. There's a lot of bad choices, a lot of very iconic people made in their lives.
You also have David Thewlis, which is a name that most people don't know until you start listing off some of the things that David Thewlis has done.
Oh, really?
And he's the prince who gets half of the dragon's heart and then becomes a total asshole and you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, okay.
He's the adult version of that prince.
Yeah.
Now, most people don't, again, that name is not familiar unless you're somebody that's like, I don't know, a Harry Potter fan and realize that he's Professor Lupin, one of the most important people in the Harry Potter universe. Mm-hmm. Or that for those DC fans out there, anybody DC fan? Well, right, Mike, you're a DC fan. You've seen Wonder Woman, right?
I have not. So you're talking the new one with Gal Gadot?
Yeah.
No, I have not been able to catch it.
You need to see that just to see Gal Gadot. I mean, damn.
I know. But I even own it, and I have not been able to watch it. And I want to really bad, especially seeing all the hype shit with the sequel. Like, I definitely want to see the sequel as much as I want to see the original.
The sequel looks amazing, especially who they cast as Max Lord. Oh my God, he's perfect. But and then to see what's her name in a serious role?
Yeah, Kristen from Wiig.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Yeah, to see Kristen Wiig play a more serious role. I'm down for that.
The effects, the makeup effects or the CGI effects, whatever they're doing, they're fan-fucking-tastic.
Well, okay, so you need to watch Wonder Woman. One, Chris Pine is actually pretty good in it.
So I hear.
Gal is just amazing, but that's because I totally love her and would do whatever she told me to. So I freely admit that my wife does not necessarily disagree with me in that capacity. She fully supports me in that.
Understood.
She does end up coming in contact with and battling Ares, which makes sense because Ares is a standard villain for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Well, again, spoiler for you. Sorry, I have to let the spoiler go. David Thewlis plays Ares.
Oh, that's really cool.
So he's in a lot of stuff. You remember a time travel movie? Oh, gosh. Now I have to look this one up. It actually starred very young Gerard Butler. Timeline, I believe, was the name of the movie.
Timeline. No, I did not see that one.
Okay. This is early 2000s, I believe, time travel movie. And this is one of those movies that just listening to, it was 2003, just listening to the cast list on this movie. What happens is, I'll just read the quick blurb. A group of archaeologists become trapped in the past when they go there to retrieve a friend. They must survive in 14th century France before they can escape back to the 21st century. Okay?
Okay.
So it's a time travel movie.
Okay.
It's Richard Donner directed. So already, you know, this is going to be a big movie.
Okay.
Dick Donner's directing it. So what do you expect? Here's the cast list for this. Okay. Tell me when I'm going through this, tell me to stop at the point where you have to watch this movie once you hear this cast.
Okay.
Paul Walker.
In 2000. Okay.
2003. Paul Walker.
2003. Okay.
Gerard Butler.
Okay.
Billy Connolly.
Okay.
Like, you should say stop right there.
Yeah, because no.
Because anything with Billy Connolly, you just want to watch.
I'm 100% down already, but please keep going.
Francis O'Connor.
Okay.
David Thewlis.
Okay.
Anna Friel.
I don't know her, but...
Some of those you may not know.
Yeah.
Neil McDonough.
Oh, really?
Matt Craven. You may not know Matt Craven,
no,
but you've seen
him
in a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay.
He's actually in Hunt for Red October, interestingly enough.
Oh, cool.
Ethan Embry.
I've heard the name. I can't think of...
Mark, you should join GWAR.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mark.
Wow. Okay.
Michael Sheen.
Okay.
You know who that is, right?
Michael Sheen?
Yeah, Michael Sheen.
No.
Have you seen any of the Twilight movies?
It's been a... Yes, I have.
Sorry for that. I've seen them way too much. How about the original Underworld, the first Underworld movie?
No.
Kate Beckinsale?
No, I did not see any of the Underworld movies.
Dear God, sir, we really need to get you a movie education.
Look, man, when I got out of Blockbuster, I just like missed out on so much stuff.
I'm trying to think of what else you would have seen Michael Sheen in. Did you watch Frost Nixon?
What?
Frost Nixon.
No. What the hell is that?
Okay. It's about an interview that a British reporter did with Richard Nixon. It was a stage play, and then they did a movie about it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so that one you may not know, fine. You should know him, and I will give you movies to watch with him because he's an amazing actor. For anybody who does know the Twilight movies, he's Aro, the head of the Volturi in that.
Okay.
And then in Underworld, he's Lucian, the head of the Lycans.
Hold on real quick. Give me jog my memory on the Volturi. Who was the Volturi?
The Volturi is the big group that lives in Italy that runs the vampire.
They're
setup.
So the elites.
He's the leader of them.
That shot of them of them being used as a meme right now.
He's the leader of them. He's the one in the middle.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Lambert Wilson.
Don't know that one.
You do, though. He's the Merovingian from the Matrix movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm down to see this. There's just a lot of good actors.
Martin Zakas.
Don't know that one.
Yeah, you do. Did you remember Triple X, the original Triple X movie?
God, I haven't seen the Triple X movie in when it came out.
Well, he's the bad guy from that.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, this is a cast list that, like, you just want to see these people.
Yeah. Especially all around that time frame. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's when Billy Connolly is, like, full Billy Connolly. I mean, this is post resurgence of his career.
I was going to say, Billy Connolly being in this was the final nail for me. I was ready. I was ready as soon as you said Billy Connolly. I don't give a shit what he's in. I love that. I love that guy.
He's hilarious. He's just funny to watch.
Yeah.
I remember watching an interview he did where it's for the movie The Last Samurai, the Tom Cruise movie, because he's in that movie. And he's doing an interview for The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise is just about wetting his pants and falling out of the chair the entire interview. Because I think Tom Cruise doesn't understand humor that well. He has trouble with it. He's never in really any comedies. The only comedic role he's really ever done is the small role in Tropic Thunder, and he was under heavy makeup for all of that role.
Dude, he knocked it out of the park, though.
Oh, he's funny as hell in that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even the part he was supposed to have. He was supposed to have the Matthew McConaughey part.
Of course he didn't want
the Matthew McConaughey part. He wanted this other part, and he chose the fat suit, the fat hands, all the clothes, the music that he was going to dance to, everything that was all his choices. And again, it was his relationship with Ben Stiller over many years of trying to do comedic stuff. Comedy is just one of those things. Like, Tom Cruise seems to laugh at just about any comedy. Billy Connolly had him falling out of his seat.
That's fantastic.
It's such a funny interview. And it's just one of those I happened to randomly come upon at one point, and just hilarious because Billy Connolly is Billy Connolly. If you've seen any of his comedy stuff, he just goes.
Yeah.
And another wonderful Scottish hero. And so, yeah, I just. amazing, amazing stuff. But we're straying away from the person we were talking about, which was Sean Connery. So tell you what, we're going to take a break right now.
Okay.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
We come back. I'm going to talk about the movie that really put Sean Connery in my eyes. You know, the one that I associate him most with. Because, again, younger generation, Dragonheart. Older generation, the Bond movies.
Yeah.
There's one movie that he stuck with me the most in. And, again, he's been in a lot of stuff. Hell, he was even in a Terry Gilliam movie. I believe it was Gilliam. Anyway, when we come back, that's what we'll talk about, is the one movie that stuck with me the most.
All right. All right.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back.
All right.
I would have loved to have done that in a Scottish accent, but my Scottish accent is awful. Completely and utterly.
Mine
awful.
Is as well. I, funny enough, I did a, I didn't realize what the dialogue itself was. When Tash and I doing our game stuff, when we played Luigi's Mansion, you're going to absolutely hate some of the shit that you hear on it. If you actually sit and watch it. I adopt accents as quickly as I possibly can. Yes, I am talking.
You're talking? I hate it already.
You already hate it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm cold reading all the dialogue, and when you see a dialogue that brings you one way or another, like when you actually see slang or the way something is spelled, you have to cold read immediately and think, oh, okay, this person is XYZ. You know, XYZ nationality, depending. Yeah. So I adopt one or two accents, and I adopted an Irish accent when it was supposed to be Scottish. Halfway through the conversation, I realized it was supposed to be Scottish, but I had to stick with what I had already, and it just didn't fit. So with a bad Irish accent, I'm saying like boyo and shit, and it totally didn't work. And I apologized about halfway through how bad it was.
Boyo can still work with an Irish accent.
So I wasn't entirely sure, but then I looked it up, and the character itself was supposed to be Scottish. It was just really badly translated because it was coming from a Japanese game that was flipped over to English during the translation process 20 years ago. And it was all bad. I did what I could with it. It wasn't too bad, but it wasn't great either.
Well, and much like American culture, I'm sure that Japanese culture, their only introductions to Scottish accent are maybe, if they're lucky, Billy Connolly, Sir Sean Connery, and Shrek. So
I was going to say Shrek / Fat Bastard. Like,
yeah, and Fat Bastard, it's the same guy, so it really doesn't make a difference. Although, and he's been doing the Scottish, Mike Myers has been doing the Scottish accent for years. Watch So I Married an Axe Murderer, where he plays roles, including he's playing the character's father, who is Scottish.
He is,
the Scottish accent. So you're watching it going, oh, okay, that's where Shrek and Fat Bastard came from.
He
got it. But anyway, back to Sean Connery, the person that we're talking about.
Yeah,
Sir Sean Connery. My apologies. Again, he had a lot of very 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 interesting roles. He had a small bit part in Time Bandits, which
that's right. Oh my God, I haven't seen Time Bandits in forever, dude. The cameos in Time Bandits are amazing. They're all over the place.
They are quite stunning. Yes.
Yes.
Very good cameos there. He had a surprise cameo at the end of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves as King Richard.
King Richard. Yep.
Which is funny because he played Robin of Locksley years ago in another movie.
He did?
Yes, he did. Oh, God. I will look it up for you later, sir. At least I believe he did. Actually, I'm going to check. I think it's Robin and Marion. I believe that's the movie. I'm going to check now so that I'm making sure that I'm right.
Yeah.
And of course
I love the fact that his parody, the Men in Tights parody, picked up Patrick Stewart for King Richard instead. I thought that was a wonderful recasting.
Well, Well, and Patrick Stewart doing the whole Scottish accent to make it amusing that King Richard is talking with a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And yes, it is. It's Robin and Marian came out in 1976.
Wow.
Sean Connery as Robin Hood. Audrey Hepburn is Maid Marian. Wow. Robert Shaw is Sheriff of Nottingham.
Wow. Oh, okay. I've got to see this.
Richard Harris, the original Dumbledore.
Oh, wow.
He's Richard the Lionheart. Nicol Williamson is Little John. I want to see it just for that. No way. Even better.
What?
Denholm Elliott is Will Scarlet.
Who's Denholm Elliott?
You're saying to yourself, yeah, who's Denholm Elliott? he's in the Indiana Jones movies.
Who does he play?
He's the absent-minded guy who works at the college with Indy. What's the character's name? I'm trying to think of his name. I'm going to look. Brody. Marcus Brody.
That's great.
Gosh, who else is in this? Ian Holm is in it. Ian Holm is King John. Holy crap.
Ian Holm is King John. Okay, this is good. This looks good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back. I mean, I'm sure if my father listens to this, I'm sure he's going to say, yeah, I love that version. And I probably saw it as a kid. I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Lester directed it too. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and find this version and see this version.
Yeah. Because,
damn, that looks pretty cool. Just the actors in that, just to be able to see them acting in their younger years is just – sometimes that's great.
Did you say Audrey Hepburn was Marion?
Yeah, Audrey Hepburn is Marion.
Holy shit. That's a great casting.
Yeah, I mean, I know Robert Shaw, for anybody who doesn't know, Jaws, hello, right?
Which is where you're getting from, right? Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah, he's the Sheriff of Nottingham, man.
I do not want to see that. Yeah, that's dope. I'm there.
So, and again, many, many cameos and many things. There's even one or two animated things that he also lent voice to. I believe he's one of the voices in the Pagemaster animated movie, the Macaulay Culkin animated movie, where he's
Wow. Yeah, that's a while back.
It's live action for a portion of it. Then he goes into the storybook and it becomes rotoscope animation.
Yeah.
He lent voice to that. There's been, you know, a bunch of small roles. There's, of course, The Hunt for Red October, which was almost the movie that I was going to talk about as being like my identifier with him, which it's, again, another movie with some amazing actors in it that just aren't thought about as being that way. I mean, James Earl Jones is fantastic in that. It's actually probably one of Alec Baldwin's best movies before Alec Baldwin became like a meme and an impersonator, a good impersonator, but an impersonator. He was an actor, and it's probably his best film, Hunt for Red October.
That's awesome.
And Sam Neill is in that.
Ooh.
Tim Curry is in that. Sam Neill. You know who Sam Neill is,
Yeah,
right?
I know who Sam Neill is.
Okay. Tim Curry is in the movie. He's in Hunt for Red October.
Oh, man.
He's part of the Russian subcrew, yeah.
Tim Curry. That's amazing.
Yeah. Of all things, it's like, what the heck is Frankenfurter doing on a sub?
Why are you here?
I guess
here?
He wants to be around I guess he wants to be around all the seamen. Whatever. Makes sense. That was a good joke. Come on.
Total dad joke. But like
but,
super crude well, dad joke.
I'm a dad, so I can do those. So here's the thing. There's still one other movie. It's a bit of an outlier movie, even though it actually had a bunch of sequels and a TV series inspired by it. But it is probably one of the more quintessential 80s movies.
Oh, yeah?
It's also one of the 80s movies that was lucky enough, or at least one of the movies. I forget when the other movie I'm thinking of was made. But it's one of the one of two movies that I'm aware of that were blessed enough to have a soundtrack done by probably one of the greatest bands of all time.
Yes.
Now, what band would that be that did soundtracks for two movies?
Two movies.
And yes, 1980s. Cause the first one was out in 1980. The other one came out, I think around 85.
Well, let's see. AC/DC did the entire Iron Man soundtrack, but that wasn't, for a while afterwards. I'm trying to think of one, because I thought Van Halen did a soundtrack for a film as well.
Van Halen's done a lot of contributions to soundtracks, but this band was actually basically responsible for the soundtrack for two films.
I'm trying to think, man. Off the top of my head, I got nothing.
The band is Queen.
The two films? Oh, my God. Why did I not? Yeah, Flash Gordon, duh.
And what's the other film? They did music for one other movie.
I do not know.
Highlander.
Oh, my God. They did.
That's the movie that sticks out to me most in my... When I'm thinking about Sean Connery, I think about Highlander. Because I think of his character Ramirez, who's supposed to be Egyptian with a Spanish name.
Yeah.
And but talks with a Scottish accent.
Yeah. Isn't that the second Highlander?
No, that's the first one.
It's the first one. Highlander. He was in the first one. Okay. Because I remember hearing Highlander. Is he in the second one too?
Hold on. Okay. First of all, we're going to establish something here. You have never seen any of the Highlander movies, have you?
It has been... I was like seven. So, not...
Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
I've heard that before, but I still... It doesn't ring a bell. I've seen more of the Highlander TV series than I've seen of the films.
Hold on. You don't know where Dishonor on You and Dishonor on Your Cow comes from?
No.
That's from the animated Mulan, just so you know.
Oh, that's hilarious. So,
again, Dishonor on You, Dishonor on Your Cow. And the cow, by the way, in reference is actually a horse. So that's what makes it even more funny. Just go watch the animated Mulan and you'll understand how I can make a man out of you. Okay. You'll understand that a little bit better, hopefully.
Okay. Well, I mean, I did know Donny Osmond was in the film. Like, I know that part.
You caused me physical pain. I'm hurting right now.
Have fun with that.
I need medicine. Anyway, okay, so the first Highlander, yes, Sean Connery is in it. Second Highlander, Sean Connery is in it. We really don't talk about anything but the first Highlander as far as the movies are concerned.
Right.
Because all of the rest of the movies are basically garbage. Yes, there's one where Mario Van Peebles is in it, which is kind of neat. But, yeah, no, we don't talk about anything but the first Highlander movie. The series was okay. Duncan was an okay McLeod. I'll give Duncan some credit. All right. And okay. The series was a fairly decent series, but the Highlander is Connor McLeod. There is no other Highlander other than Connor McLeod. Even though the actor who played Duncan McLeod did have a Scottish accent and the Highlander is supposed to be a Scotsman, thus him being called the Highlander because he's from the Scottish Highlands. Sadly, Christopher Lambert, who is, I believe he is Belgian and raised in France, barely could speak English when he did his first movie, Lord Greystoke, which was a Tarzan movie. He had trouble speaking because he didn't speak really any English, and his co-star in that movie had such a pronounced Southern accent that she was actually overdubbed in the film.
Whoa!
So yeah, because her Southern accent was way too much. And they were trying to get more, they could deal with an American accent, but not to the, super Southern extent that she had.
Right.
But I always found it amusing to have the actual Scotsman, being played by a guy with a French accent. Andy McDowell, by the way, was the co-star in the Lord Greystoke movie. She had way too much of a Southern accent. They had to overdub her. But
wow.
Back to Highlander. Christopher Lambert, great actor. Played Raiden in the Mortal Kombat movies.
That's who I remember.
Yeah, that's where you remember it from. Yeah. And has had other very great, very amazing roles. He's one of my favorite parts of the movie Southland Tales. But I have like a lot of favorite parts of that movie. I really, really love that movie. It got lambasted by critics, but I thought that thing was amazing. If you've not watched Southland Tales, go watch Southland Tales. And then when you don't understand it, talk to me. I'll explain it.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that's got some stuff in there that's a little difficult to understand. It's weird, which is why I like it. But I have so many fond memories of watching the Highlander movie, and I didn't care that the Scotsman sounded like he was French and the Egyptian sounded like he was Scottish. These were people, these were immortals using freaking swords to try to behead each other and having these massive sword battles that were just beautiful. And then you have them fighting the Kurgan, who is Mr. Krabs,
right?
From SpongeBob. Which, if nobody gets that reference, then you need to put your hand on the wall for a moment, and I can take care of that for you. Another reference from another one of my favorite movies, but and it's again, I'll spell it out. Clancy Brown is the name of the actor, mm-hmm. Who was the Kurgan, and again the voice of Mr. Krabs in SpongeBob, which is where most people would know him from. You wouldn't realize that it's the same guy. He's done a lot of voiceover work. In fact, he was in season one of The Mandalorian. He was under a whole bunch of makeup, but he was in the movie. And it's just such an amazing, visceral film of these guys doing these sword fights that are just for a kid anyway. Nowadays, the sword fights are kind of lame and cheesy, especially with the stuff that we see in more modern movies, mm-hmm. of sword fights happening. I mean, you got to take a property from the 80s, G.I. Joe, when they turn that into movies, there's a sequence in the second G.I. Joe movie where Snake Eyes is battling Storm Shadow. And I'm like, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, these are the badass ninjas of right. G.I. Joe and Cobra.
Right.
Right. I mean, these guys came from the same ninja clan. They were basically like brothers until they betrayed each other. Snake Eyes don't say nothing ever. He doesn't talk. Vow of silence.
Right.
And he's just like the biggest badass around. But like Storm Shadow is also the biggest badass around. And then in a twist, Storm Shadow's the bad guy. He wears all white. Snake Eyes the good guy. He wears all black. Woo, it's not how it right. should be.
Right.
And these guys have some epic battles. Like in the intro to the G.I. Joe cartoon, Storm Shadow takes down a stone pillar with his katana. Because that's how badass Storm Shadow is.
God, I gotta go back and watch that.
In the second G.I. Joe movie, they literally have Storm Shadow's not a part of this fight because he's actually recuperating from being like burned all to hell at this point. So he's actually zipped up in a bag and Snake Eyes and freaking Jinx, another ninja from the G.I. Joe
Right.
They are stealing Storm Shadow's body in the Himalayas. So they're going across like mountains and stuff with this body in a bag on a zip line. Storm Shadow's still alive. He's just severely injured. And they're right. fighting off a whole bunch of other ninjas that are rappelling on ropes, and they're fighting along the side, literally on the side of a mountain. They're not like standing and fighting each other. They're swinging at each other with ropes and trying to cut each other with their swords and crap. So the sword fights we see nowadays, way beyond what was able to happen in the early 1980s with some French dude and some gigantic American dude with staples around his neck. You know what I mean? This is totally different type of fighting. But at the time, it just seemed so. This was sword fighting. This was fantasy and you know, modern times smashed together, which is a big theme in the 80s and 90s. They love taking fantasy characters that lived in some kind of like, you know, Conan the Barbarian type world,
right,
and thrusting them into modern world. I think the second Beastmaster movie, the freaking Beastmaster comes to like the modern world, mainly because they didn't have any money in the budget. So they couldn't find sets and couldn't build sets. So they just like set up at a strip mall and you know, filmed it.
It was very much a like a third-rate Masters of the Universe kind of a thing.
Which, actually, that's what they did at Masters of the Universe. They didn't have much money, so they brought them to the present and right. had them fight in the present.
Right, right, right.
It was so much easier to scout those locations. We're going to make it
time travel. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. The only set they could really build, Gwildor's Cave and the interior of Castle Grayskull. Beyond that, oh, hey, here's a music shop. We'll just blow the crap out of this music shop.
Yep.
Here's some alleys with some, you know, chain link fence up and stuff. We can do that. We can do a fight in here. That's good. But fantastic. No, Sean Connery being that he stepped into that mentor role for that movie and was like seemed like the ultimate mentor, and then sacrificed himself for the Highlander to live on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just such a powerful character, such a wonderful character. And it was that person that wanted to inspire you to be your best and lift you up, and then had your back the whole way. And it was just a great role. It stood out so much in my mind as a kid. Like, that dude's the badass. It's also scary that, like, that dude was such a badass and the Kurgan still beat him. So, like, Connor McLeod, don't fight the freaking Kurgan, man.
Yeah.
Because that dude beat Ramirez, and Ramirez was the badass.
Yep.
Don't do it. And then, of course, he gets Ramirez's sword, which is a Masamune blade.
Yeah, oh, you man. Heard me. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yeah, you heard me.
I'm familiar.
So, and he apparently got it from Masamune himself.
Cute. Okay.
So it's like, okay, you got like the best blade ever.
Right.
You get yourself, Tron'd into Final Fantasy I. You're good, man. You're fucking set. So it's again, for anybody who loves sword lore and who, you know, was a little kid loving all that fantasy stuff, that's like, oh my God, you have the best blade ever.
Yep.
That's like a +5 Vorpal sword. Seriously.
Dude, the Masamune blade's like legendary. They've got that throughout the Soul Calibur series and all that kind of shit too. It's like the default legendary sword for every great swordsman in a video game now. If you're a samurai, you have a Masamune.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first times that it was brought much more to public consciousness, was in Highlander. That's where I first heard about it.
That's cool.
And that's just kind of that. It's such a, for me at least, it was such an impactful movie. And again, it spawned a bunch of sequels and a TV series because it had an audience that just loved it. Is it a cheap, cheesy movie from the 80s? Yeah, of course it is.
Oh yeah.
And then of course you have the soundtrack of Queen songs, which, like, Who Wants to Live Forever? One of my favorite Queen songs. I still cry every time I hear that damn song. It's a Kind of Magic. Another great Queen song.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, we missed out on Queen doing more soundtracks for movies. they were just amazing at it. They just kicked ass at it. But that was, like, again, that was one of those moments that really stood out for Sean Connery. However, as much as that movie meant, again, as much as I liked Red October, as much as I saw all the Bond movies with Sean Connery and knew he was the best Bond, there is still one more Sean Connery movie that I'm pretty certain you haven't watched, that I'm pretty certain the majority of people haven't watched. My family, if they're listening, because I watched it with my family. But it's a very, very early Sean Connery film. One of his first films.
Oh, really?
A film in which he actually sings.
Oh, boy.
And it's a film called Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Wait a fucking second. Hold on. Sean Connery was in Darby O'Gill?
You know Darby O'Gill?
I'm familiar with Darby O'Gill, like the Disney movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Have I seen it? No. But I am familiar with it. I knew a lot of people that referenced Darby O'Gill, like, back in the day, especially back at Blockbuster. Like, when I was working Blockbuster, yes. Multiple stores, there were people that were all about that film. I never got to see it, kind of wanted to, but I was also, like, not really into Disney films at the time, too, so I never really caught it, but I'm not against seeing it.
It's one of those interesting films. It deals with a lot of Irish folklore. Irish, some Scottish, but mainly Irish folklore.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about he meets up, the main character meets up with the King of the Leprechauns.
Yeah.
There's banshees involved in stuff. And I'm sorry, you don't mess with banshees, man. Don't mess with banshees. Because banshees mess you up. And not just in, like, D&D, because in D&D, banshees will mess you up, but, like, real life, I don't fool with no banshees.
Yeah.
But, like, seriously, dealing with all kinds of, like I say, Irish folklore, spiritual stuff. It's some crazy stuff, man. Crazy movie. It's one of those movies that, again, I really recommend people try to watch. Decent role with Sean Connery. I mean, he's the third person listed, and he's probably the biggest star from the movie, but he's the third person listed on kind of the credits for it. But he sings, man. He sings. And if anything, you got to like him singing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that is my spiel on Mr. Sean Connery for the day, sir.
Well done.
I really don't want to say much more because, again, he had some questionable things in his life. But, Mike,
yes,
where will people be listening to us?
Well, you guys could very well be listening to us on our website, thezenchronicles.com, or it could be spelled zenchron.com for shorthand, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. You could also find us at Zenchron on Facebook. You could find us at Zenchron on Twitter. And, as well, we're on all of the – we're on, I would say, all – in a very loose term of the major podcasting website. So Google Podcast, if that's still a thing, we're there. We're on TuneIn, Apple Podcast. You should be able to find us if you just search for the Zenia Chronicles. We're also on YouTube as well. If you want to go check us out on our YouTube page, you could be listening to us on YouTube right now. So in the case that you may be, make sure you hit like on the video if you're digging on it. Also, click the subscribe button, and James, what else can they do?
They need to click the bell.
That's right. Click that bell to make sure you get notified the next podcast that we come out with. Normally, we do weekly podcasts. They come out on Thursdays. And, I believe that is my spiel.
And while you're there on YouTube checking out our podcast, please check out Ruling Note Music. It's another page that Mike does where he discusses all things music.
Yeah.
Recording tips, history of music stuff. And then also check out Chronozode Games. It's a site where Mike does video games with his wife. They play through video games in chronological order, not necessarily the order that they came out. So please check those out while you're there. Otherwise, thank you for listening. Hopefully, we'll be able to give you some more content next week. Hopefully, it's a brighter day next week.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you all then.
You have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.